Okay, so we're going to do a page Lamed Tes and Rashba. A short little piece. So it's about Ya'el. Okay, not Ya'el, Chana. Sorry, Chana. So Chana was in the Beis Hamikdash. She was davening, right, for a child. And she was very saddened, right? And she was davening quietly. And until that point, people didn't daven quietly. So Eli saw her and suspected her that she was drunk, basically, right? So she responded, "No, I'll titen es amaslof neblas b'leyal. Don't place me to be like a master b'leyal," which means like something like wild and something like something's wrong with me. Okay, because so that's the Gemara is going on that statement. That statement that he considered her like a b'nei b'leyal, a bas b'leyal. So I'm Rabbi Lazar, mikan l'shikar shemispal kilo v'erod zar, because she thought that she was a drunk. So you learn now from here that someone who's a drunk who davens is as if they're doing erod zar. K'siv had you know, because k'siv ha b'leyal, because here it uses the term b'leyal. K'siv hasam yatzu anashim b'nei b'leyal, and by erod zar, I think that's by Yerhani Dachas or something to that effect. Is that people who are b'nei b'leyal went out? So in the Torah, when the Torah uses the term b'leyal, it's a reference to the avodah zarah. So the fact that she was referring, you know, that she's saying, "Don't accuse me of being a b'nei b'leyal." But what do you mean? She wasn't doing avodah zarah. She was just suspecting her of drinking. So why is she saying this b'nei b'leyal? So you see, that apparently, so therefore it's saying is, you see that someone who drinks, who davens drunk, is as if they're doing a vodzar. Okay? As if they're doing a vodzar. So on the surface, it seems to be a difficult equation. Because, I mean, a vodzar is a vodzar. You're worshipping some other god, or something to that effect. And davening drunk, although it may be usur, you may not be allowed to do it, it seems to be extreme to equate someone who davens drunk to an Oved Avodah Zarah, or the sin of davening drunk to worshipping idols, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like a stretch. So it's true the Pasuk uses those terms or whatever, but, you know, what's that idea? Right, so maybe we could think about that before we be careful with the Rashba. The halacha is, it's brought down in the Ram, in the Gemara, it says, "A shikar and a spal, it's tefilas a toeva."
Really?
It's like a disgraced abomination, and you're not yotzei. Even if you can pull it off to say, you know, say the actual text of the tefillah and whatever, still you're not allowed to do it. And so, I mean, here it's saying it's like a zara study. You see, that's really bad. Mm-hmm. But it's brought down halacha. It's not just an agadita. I mean, maybe an agadita that it's like a zara, but it's a halacha that it's not a good tefillah. And it's, you know, it's an important halacha to know. I mean, sometimes, you know, it comes up from time to time. So, you know, sometimes you may feel like, "Oh, I have to daven." But, you know, you have to know when to daven and when not to daven. So, mitzvah to just daven, if mini could be a toeva, it's not only is it, you know, it's bad. The Rambam defines, "Eze was shikr." This is in the Hilchos Tefillah, Dalet Yud Zayin. "Zeshein yachol adaber b'fnei melech." Someone who can't speak before a king. And a shasoi, there's two levels. There's a shikr who can't daven. And if you daven, then he has to daven again. And then there's a shasoi. Shasoi is someone who is not drunk, but drank a revius of yain. Okay, so it's like, you know, maybe like a buzz or something to that effect, you know, or whatever. I mean, it depends how you, you know, you have to do this again. But it's like a lower level, a lesser level. Which also, you're not allowed to daven, but if you do, it's still a tefillah. Still counts, you're still yotzei, it's not toeva, but you're not allowed to do it anyways. So any impairment or whatever, so you're not allowed to do it. But it's not what we're talking about here. Here we're talking about shikr. Shikr means you can't speak before a king. Okay?
Can't speak.
I guess, you know, you're gonna stumble on your words. The shasoi says you're able to speak before a king and you're not going to make mistakes. But still, since you drank, you're not allowed to daven.
So the equivalent today would be, imagine you're about to go in front of the President of the United States.
Right, you're going
to
say some sort of a speech.
You would be a fool of yourself.
Right,
you
were, right. You're going to mumble your words, you're going to stutter, you're going to trip on yourself, right? Something like that. So that's considered drunk. Right, you talk, you babble a little bit, something to that effect. So, shikr is that, you know. So the question of the intoxication, I guess, depending on different drinks you're drinking. Some drinks you drink a lot, some drinks you drink a little. What's funny is, look, you're saying davening. Presumably you're saying, you know, Baruch Tosh, you know what I mean? You're not, it's like you're davening, you're worshiping some other god. I mean, that's not what's going on here. Sounds like you're drunk, but you're davening. You're saying Shmona Esrei or whatever.
You really need to be, like,
what?
There's a text.
Yeah, there's a text, right. So it's not like, how's that about Zara? Okay, so yeah, the creator of the universe. Yeah, so our God, just to say, the difference between our God and their God, our idea of God and their idea of God, is our idea of God is based upon our mind, based upon knowledge, right? We relate to God through our mind. We, like what y'all saying, observation and law, but basically through our minds, right? The way we know that God exists is because we think about the universe and we recognize the existence of a God. And the God, our God, is the God which our mind perceives. It's not the God that we want, it's the God that we know. It's the God that we recognize to exist. And the God which we perceive with our mind. And their God is the God that they desire, they wish for, they emotionally need and create because they need him. Right? So the God, their God is the God of their, like you're saying, like the daddy in the sky, or those, they basically, they need a God. They need someone to help them. They're insecure, and they make up this God, and basically the God fills their emotional gap for the security. But our God, we don't do that. That's the idea of Zara, where they're making the whole thing up. But our God, we can need it as much as we want to need it, but it doesn't mean he exists. Our God, as we know exists, and we relate to the God through our mind, not just through our wishes and our hopes. And I think I told you, I mentioned this some time ago, but that's the pasuk, not the pasuk, but the tefillin on Aleinu. Right, we say, Aleinu Shavach, we say, Shehem Yishtachal Mahal Varekum Esfalam El Yoshia. They dive into a God who, to emptiness and nothingness, to a God that won't help them. Because that's what they want. They're looking for a God that will help them. But he doesn't really help them. He doesn't exist. They say, Varek. Nothing. But we, Varekum Kor Mishtachalim, we talk about, we doesn't say we daven to a God who does help us. They daven to God who doesn't help them. We help daven to the God who helps us. No, we daven to the God who is the creator, who spreads forth the heavens and and he is the creator of the world. So we daven to the God who exists, that we know he exists because we study the universe and we study the Torah, we see the Torah, and we know he exists as the God of our mind. Now, what happens when you when you're drunk? Are we in a better position to answer that question now?
It's harder to make a distinction between what we're thinking and what we're feeling.
Yeah, right. Or we're not really thinking. I mean, you can't really think when you're drunk. I mean, your mind is blurred, your mind, you think, but never improperly. Yeah, you can't differentiate between your feelings, your knowledge. Part of thought is discerning, discernment. Being able to discern what's your wishes and what's your knowledge and what you see, right? I mean, that's the way we relate to God, is we have to push aside. We may want God to love us, and we may want God to be physical, and we may want all these different things. But to be there for us, to serve all our needs, and to, to whatever wishes that we have about God, but we realize that that's just wishful thinking. It's not really true. So once we lose our minds, and we can't really think anymore, so then we really become, and then we're turning to God. Well, we're turning to the God of our emotions. We're turning to the God of the God which we don't really have a good grasp on with our minds, but we're just kind of the superego God, the God of the daddy God. We want things, and we just turn to the God who we want, who we hope will, we wish will answer our needs. So then we become like the Tzar. Right? It becomes our turning to God. What makes our tefillah different from their tefillah is because of our mind. The second we shut off our mind or impair our mind, and now turn to God and try to daven to God, we're not daven to God anymore. We may say Hashem, and you may say the Shemona Esrei, but our idea of God isn't just the name Hashem. It's our idea of God, which is dalef neimiat omed, right? That's the know before whom you stand. If you don't know, you're not subject to knowing. So then, what are you doing? Who are you davening to? You're not davening to.
Say that this concept of davening while you're not in the right, not able to think straight, then maybe somebody who's extremely sleep deprived shouldn't daven either, because I know when I'm very sleep deprived, I can't think straight.
Right.
My mind is not functioning properly.
Right.
If you're extremely hungry, I know whenever I'm fasting, I have a hard time, like especially towards the end of the fast, because my mind is so consumed with the, you know, the physical deprivation.
Right. Okay, so what would you say to that? That's a good question. You say that there are a lot of the different states where you can't really concentrate so well, so would you say that they're all the same?
Well, this is a little different than, like, lack of concentration. It seems almost like there is concentration, just it's a different concentration.
Right.
It's like concentration on, like you said, this really infantile relationship to God that comes from just like a pure...
Right, infantile is a good word, right? You see people who are drunk, they look infantile. Like, they're older, you see, they drool like an infant, and they talk like an infant, they say things. They're parts of their personality, you know, really, you know, which are sort of, you know, repressed or, you know, subdued by their conscience, and the superego kind of comes out. So you see, you're really in a state where all your underlying primitive infantile wishes come out. So now you're in a mindset where your davening is going to be driven by those types of thoughts. So who are you davening to? You could say Hashem, but you're not davening to Hashem. How could you? You don't even have any idea of Hashem because your mind is corrupted. Now, when you're tired or you're fasting or anything like that, you can't concentrate because you're distracted. Okay? So distraction is a different idea. Your mind still operates. It's just that you have other things pulling you away, distracting you, making it hard to concentrate. And yeah, I guess if you have to assess how good of a concentration you can have to daven. So that's, if you daven that kavana, you daven that kavana. So it's, you may not be davening to, you know, you may be saying, it may be empty, you're davening. But it's not infantile and primitive and wishful, and, you know, your mind is still there. You're just not really able to think about it because you're thinking about something else. It's not just in tefillah you're thinking about something else. You're davening to the God, you're davening to the God of your emotions. So that's like a zara. Right? Okay, so let's see in the Rashba, but I mean, I think this is what he says. I mean, I read the Rashba already, but that's, I'm just saying it, you know, got well on this path. But he says, and I'm a foursome, Shea Shikros Mavalval Sadas. So it's well known, it's public knowledge that Shikros, drunkenness, confuses the Das, till it brings you to the point of denying truth. Right? I don't know if he means kfira means like a kofir or just deny. I mean, people deny true things. They just say stupid things. They say they deny truth, you know. They imagine things. They lose it. Everyone knows that, right? He says, ubo davashaker. And in admitting false things, right? So you deny true things, you admit false things. It's clear. Anyone seen drunk people, you see that they, you know, they do things like that. About derech mashal, kamosha amru. Like as a mashal, you see Chazal say, "Eino makir ben Baruch Mordechai l'Araman." Right, that's the shear of drunkenness on Purim, to the point where you don't know anymore to differentiate between Baruch Mordechai and Araman. So you call Mordechai Araman and Haman Baruch. So it means you lose judgment. You lose the ability to discern between good and evil. So that's a function of your mind that could that could discern between those things. And the person loses that capacity. Now everything is whatever. You get confused by those types of things. Your mind doesn't operate properly. They're just showing you from the Chazal. You see, drunkenness means that your mind is compromised. Right? Your mind is compromised. The Yira Demyonos Kozvam, and you see faulty imaginations.
You don't have a chiyuv to daven minchad maravan porim because you have a chiyuv to become drunk? Is that right?
Well, you daven mincha before you get drunk, and then you daven marav when you sober up in the wee hours of the night.
But you wouldn't be allowed to daven minchad marav if you're still drunk.
No, at weddings also it happens. I mean, guys, you know, it's a real problem. I mean, people, I don't know if people know this or whatever, but I get the feeling it's not a well-known halach or well-practiced halach. Because people, it's funny, people have the super ego, I have to daven. But you don't have to daven, don't daven. It's not very to daven, it's a to'eva. Yeah, it's like a vodzara, it's to'eva. That's what it means, it's to'eva, it's an abomination. You're not davening, it's not, you know, you gotta know when to say no. Friends know when, you know, don't let friends drinking daven.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, you have to, I mean, in Purim is when you have to think about it, or weddings, you have to think about it. But usually you could get sober enough before the, you know, you have the morning, you know, till the, you don't have to be like, you know, you just have to be, you know, you slip it off a little bit, you could end up, you know, you can,
I mean, it depends.
Yeah, right, that's bad. That's a bad one.
Sometimes they have a kiddush called before Musa.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's what the thing is, davening on, Simchas Torah is very common. Simchas Torah is a common problem. People get drunk on Simchas Torah and then they daven Musaf. They do a break and that's a common problem. Yeah, but people, I think it's the
Salah's views. Rosh Hashanah, people make kiddush.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and they drink like, really? They get drunk. I don't think
you're
drunk.
What was that
on?
If you have
just a review?
Well,
not
even a review. You shouldn't
daven? Right. Question is, it's not clear exactly how long you have to wait or whatever, but they say until the wine passes. But I'm not sure exactly what that means. But yeah, even if you drink a review.
Yeah, then if you do daven, then you're
it works, yeah. But you're not allowed to. It's usr. Just,
but these
feeling.
People are all deciding to daven in their drunkenness, so they're probably okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no. I mean, it's something to think about. It's not, you know, the Torah isn't against drinking per se. I mean, it's against getting drunk. I mean, that's why there's a rabbi. I forgot exactly where he says it. I think in Deos he says it's us or it's an aver to get drunk. Mm. I think
even
so.
On
Purim. Well, no, not on Purim. Purim's different. Mm. But in general, because drunkenness. And there's a reason why, because I think he even says you close off your mind, and in Torah the whole life of a Torah Jew is using their mind, so it's one of the bars. But drunk means where you lose your rational faculty, you know, you can't think, and if you totally can't think, you're not an adam anymore, and you're not allowed to put yourself in that state. But that's different. That's like a deos isser. This is an isser in tefillah. It's not just a deos isser, it's an isser in tefillah. So therefore, now
taking the question of how we could possibly have a mitzvah to get drunk on Purim.
Yes, that's a good question. I know, it's a good question. Did we discuss that? No, we didn't discuss that. Right? Yeah, maybe we could discuss it sometime, but not. I don't think I want to discuss it right now. That's a good question. Also,
that's
a good question.
Also.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good question. I know. It's a big question altogether. What kind of mitzvah is that? How do you have a mitzvah to get drunk? It's not, it's like totally, there's no such thing like that in the Torah. And all of a sudden you get drunk, you have a mitzvah like that. It seems to be just against what the Torah holds. And why, whether or not I'm making up a mitzvah like that.
And our view, there's such piercing my knees. Like, how are you going to do that?
Right. Yeah, right. They pierce my knees. Maybe we'll take it up in a few minutes. Let's finish this and we'll see. Maybe at the end I'll take it up a little bit. Okay, I have a partial answer based on Rabbi answer, gave probably an answer once, but we'll see. Let's just finish this.
So anybody who's in an infantile state or if they can't think, you can't use their mind to, even if they're not drunk, they shouldn't daven?
Well, no, see, I don't know if there's anything like that. I mean, drugs, I guess, would be similar to drinking, but
right.
Something, agent which compromises your mind. You know, I guess if you have pain medication or, you know, whatever. But
yeah.
The point is that your mind, it's different, not distraction, but
right.
Your mind, your mental faculty is compromised.
Right. Any of those medications that say you shouldn't drive afterwards. From,
I guess so.
Probably
I guess
shouldn't
so.
Daven afterwards.
You're
either.
Right, I guess so. I guess so. I mean, you can tell. I mean, I don't know if you can tell, but someone can tell you.
Somebody who's mentally retarded doesn't have chiyuv
tefillah? No, they don't chiyuv in any mitzvah, though. Because they don't have das. That's why Katan doesn't have him as a sosa, because they don't really have das. The das isn't fully developed.
Right.
But that's different. I mean, that's like a quantitative thing. It's not because they're emotional. It's just like they haven't, their mind isn't fully developed. I mean, they're right. The mind isn't fully developed. Here it's more like the mind is like corrupted. It's not just that it's not fully developed. It becomes corrupted and your instincts take a much more prominent part of the person, you know, the personality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a little further now. So he says, "Umi she'omed lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'tefila v'hu shikar." And so, someone who davens stands before God in tefila when he's drunk, shema mitoch lebilbal daito, perhaps because of his confused mindset, yava ledemyonos kozvim, he'll come to imaginations, false imaginations, right? False ideas. He'll just imagine up false concepts. Vizuki yavod zar babas. And that's actually avodah zarah. Right? And what he means is that, look, it doesn't mean if you daven, you're definitely going to have the wrong idea. Because when you're drunk, it doesn't mean you can ever, you can't think anything. I mean, you can have some thoughts, but it's blurred. You know, some yes, some no. So it says, perhaps when you daven, you're going to, you may come up with some faulty idea, which is actually a zara, which is actually this idea, like an idea of God, which is a corrupt idea of God, and you're going to be davening to get to the God, which doesn't exist. God, which is the God of your wishes and your imagination. So to daven in that state, it's like Avodah. It doesn't mean, I think it's saying that that's actually Avodah Zarah. It's not even like Avodah Zarah. If you actually daven to the God of your that you wish, you know, you actually are corrupted and you pray to a God, you know, that you imagine up, that actually is Avodah Zarah. But he says, even if you just daven drunk, risking that, so to speak, is as if you're Avodah Zarah. Because it means you're not taking the thing... you know, you're not taking seriously the idea of the whole Torah of the removal from Avodah Zarah. It's like you're falling prey to the tendencies of Avodah Zarah by the fact that you're davening in a state where you know that you're prone to that kind of a thing. So a person has to be totally distant from Avodah Zarah and can't daven in a state where they even may, you know, where they may go in that direction. You know? Yeah. Good question.
If I had just read the Rashba, though,
yeah,
like I may not have come to as clear of a description of what's wrong.
Right.
We kind of like took it even one step further, which
right.
I see what you're saying that he's kind of saying this.
Right.
But when you first read the Rashba, like, what makes you?
Realize
what
that?
Question on the Rashba makes you
right.
start to think
right.
into
right.
drunkenness and the infantile nature of it? And
right. Well, what does he say? Let's say the first thing he basically has two steps. His first step is that drunkenness corrupts your mind, right? Makes you deny, you know, true things and accept false things, right? The Haman Mordechai example, and you have imaginations, the Mianos Kozvan, right? You
mm-hmm.
see, like, right? And now that's his first step. That's first say. What does drunkenness do? Okay, so it corrupts your mind. Then he says that when you daven before God, drunk, so maybe because you're corrupt mind, you're going to have bad ideas. And what to me is the problem is, if we have Avodah Zarah be'emes. What he's saying there is he means don't take, like kind of the approach that we were taking originally. Is, well, you're emotional, and you know, like it's, he means Avodah Zarah be'emes. Means it's not, sometimes Chazal say it's if, you get angry, it's like you're an Avodah Zarah. If you do this, it's like you're an Avodah Zarah. There's a lot of things that are like Avodah Zarah, you know, and they partake of Avodah Zarah in some sense. But the Rashba, I think, is going out of his way to say, Zui Avodah Zarah be'emes. It's not just a loose type of a way of dissuading you from davening drunk. He's saying, Avodah Zarah be'emes. So that, I think, struck me as like, what does he mean? How's it Avodah Zarah? What does that mean, is Avodah Zarah be'emes? You know, but so then you have to think into, well, how does a corrupt mind, Avodah Zarah, and you think, well, that's what Avodah Zarah do. They daven from their wishes and their faulty, you know.
Right.
So yeah, well, I'm developing a little bit, but I think in general, when you know, I guess you just have to think into, that would just stand out to me.
Avodah
Zarah Bahamas, I think. Yeah, Avodah Zarah Bahamas. Yeah, but I mean, I think perhaps if you did think into it, you would have, like, you may have come to this, because what does he mean? You know?
Yeah, I'm just wondering which
I know.
Point he made that mean.
Right, I understand. Yeah, I think that when I read it now, I don't remember exactly the time I did it, but when I read it now, that's what stood out to me, is it was Obama's.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't know. Sometimes these things are, you know... Sometimes the comparison to Avodah Zarah could be loose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be loose. But you see, he's saying it's not exactly loose. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So maybe just, is there any other question on the phone besides the Purim one?
So what do we do to make sure we don't sound like that even when we're not drunk?
Oh, don't get drunk.
No, I mean.
No, I guess. Well, the daven like this. I mean, there's different levels. The daven like that, really, I don't know if you could do if you're not drunk. Oh, well, and I guess you could. But I mean, for starters, when you're drunk, is you really you can't really help it because your mind is compromised, right? But I guess I mean, you have to think into what tefillah is and not be an idolater. I mean, it's davening is an expression of your own relationship to Torah and to God, which should be a relationship based upon knowledge. So, I guess to the degree, I mean, it's your whole world, the whole Torah is about this path. The whole Torah is to remove you from Avodah Zarah. Right? There's Chazal to say that, right? So the degree, which means, is to extricate yourself from this instinctual emotional worldview and to get you into the worldview of based upon mind and truth and knowledge. So to the degree that you are that person, so your tefillah will be an expression of that. So it's, I don't know if it's an exactly you work on the way you're davening rationally as opposed to being a rational person. You know, but even if you are that rational person, to the degree that you are, if you get drunk, now you're going to lose it all. So then you become like an idolater. But other than that, I think you just have to, you know, I mean, work on yourself and your, you know, relationship to reality and studying, you know, knowledge and relating to God through knowledge and not through your wishes. Which is called Torah Kula, basically. I mean, there's no, it's basically everything you've ever studied about Torah, coming to boils down to that. Right, you follow me?
Yeah, I guess I'm curious about the distinction then between tefillah and learning. Like, it's not this abstract thing
right.
You're asking for your needs.
Yes, right, and we've talked about that earlier in the year, but in a basic way is, yeah, it's not just abstract. Learning is just knowledge. But here it's like you're turning your emotions, you have emotions, and you're directing them towards God, and you know, like asking, realizing that the way to satisfy them is only through God, and God is the source of all. So it's like kind of getting your emotions in line with your knowledge, like making a connection there, as opposed to Torah, learning is purely just the world of mind. You follow me? That's a quick answer, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Thank
you. Okay, so just quickly about Purim. Right, so the answer that Rebbe had said once, maybe it was based upon a gra. It was based on, I'm not sure it was based on, but it's a good answer, and I think it's from the Megillah. You kind of see it from the Megillah, but basically he said is that in the time in those days there was such a thing as a victory party, right? Like Ahasuerus had his big party, his big feast, you know. And with the Jews at the time, there was the victory of the Jews was like a largely they're still like Akati Avdei Achashverosh, the Gemara says. We were still after the redemption, we're still slaves of Achashverosh, we're still under his kingdom. So what we had to do there was a political victory, and the Jews had to express their vanquishing of their enemies when they won. And that was the idea, that they had a day of partying and festivities, and it was part of the thing is making a statement politically, is that we are, the Mishnah of Simcha, they set the thing up. And the way they did that, the political gesture of conquest and vanquishing of your enemies, was the victory party. And the idea is the victory party is you could drink. It's almost like after like a team, sports example, but after a team wins whatever, they're drunk, they go out and party. Because like the whole season, I don't know, whatever, you can't drink. You're not going to play well. But when you finally win, now you pull out the champagne, and now you can finally let your guard down. Because you can't let your guard down in the middle of the season or in the middle of a war, because you have to know who's Barar and who's Barach. But once you win your war and your enemies are totally destroyed, now you can drink to the point where you don't even know who your enemies are and your friends are. That's the point, and that's the expression of the Jews are saying is that's it, we are on top. And it basically is a message to the world and to the people at the time that the Jews are that there was a great Yeshua and Hatzalah from Mekadosh Baruch Hu.
That makes sense for the people of that time.
Yeah. So okay, good. So that's why at that time that was what they, given that they were they had to ensure that Hatzalah would be a reality in the world and to assert themselves as being this the power and the people, there was a pachad of the Yehudim, so that was what they had to do. Now the mitzvah was set up. Mordechai and Esther setting up Pirsam HaNes. What they did was, in order to publicize the miracle, they set up that basically every year we like reenact the events which took place then. That was the method of Pirsam. So they set up the Yom Mishnah V'Simcha. They modeled a Yom Mishnah V'Simcha after that, and they sent Matanos Avionim and So what they did is the method of piercing my nisa was that they'd maintain the memory of the nes of Purim through eternalizing that victory party and the day the simcha which existed for the Yudim at that time is replicated throughout each and every generation. Replicated and niskarim v'na'asim. Not just to party, but then also to niskarim, which means reading the Megillah. So the combo deal of intellectually remembering it through reading of the events, but then having the emotional, active expression of the piersim through replicating, reliving the experience which they did of the Yomesh of Simcha. So that was the method of piersim anes. I mean, they maintained, like, v'zichram l'yosef mizaram, that the memory of these days would last forever in Klal Yisrael. So that being the case, so they had to replicate the victory party, which they did the first year. And they, not only that, they replicated that the first year there were some people did it on the 14th and some people did it on the 15th. So too, there's the walled cities and unwalled cities. I mean, all the mitzvahs, you study the mitzvahs of Purim, you see there's a lot of trying to remove details, reminding us and modeling after what took place that.
Did the women participate in the drinking?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, it does say women are obligated to pierce a manes and make a megillah because hafein hayavos anes. So by that measure, you seem to be that they should also be obligated to this. I think I once asked Rabbi that, and he said it's mistaber. It seemed that they should be. There are different shears of drunkenness, you know. But I mean, from the sense of the thing, it seems that Pearson is, you know, is on my woman as well. We don't have to go make a Megillah, you know. In general, even though the decision on Grama, we don't have to. But I mean, there are different shittos about the shear of drunkenness. So I mean, you know, if there are practical considerations, it could be more, you know, lenient or whatever. But it would seem to say they should.
Is pregnant or breastfeeding.
No, that's a different thing. That's health issues, you know.
Caring for young children.
Yeah, right. Well, you don't have to drink again. You could drink the shita suhol. You drink more than you ordinarily drink. So if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, it's different. But if you're caring for young children, you could drink more than usual and still, you know, your kids could be safe, you know.
Right.
But I mean, of course, you have to take into account, you know, health, you know, health and, you know, Yikoch Nefesh, so that's,
right.
Yeah, but I think it's a good explanation, and it sounds like the only good, it sounds, you know, I've heard other explanations, but it sounds like the right explanation, because it's like, it means that Chazal per se would never set up a mitzvah like this, the Chachila, because it's not a Torah, the Torah doesn't have anything like this, but it's like, given that that was what it was, then they're modeling it as a, modeling in Lidoros in order to bring about the Pirsum Anisa. But the Kiyam isn't in getting drunk, the Kiyam is an expression of Pirsum Anisa of Shevach
Lashem. But then the Rambam says that it's an Avera to get.
Oh, so I guess he means, I mean, I don't know, you have to work out the deal, but I guess he means is, to, I don't know.
Outside of Pirsum Anisa.
I mean, right, I guess his mitzvah is to get drunk. Oh, by the way, but that's the shear of Bein Avad Shalayad Bein Haram Moruch Morchid. I mean, I was referencing that, but that's the point of the shear. But the Rambam holds it just till you, the Rambam holds it means till you fall asleep.
But there's other instances of piercing on knees where it's not an exact.
No, yeah, it's true. It's true. But that's a different question. Yeah. That's a good question. That was a Mordechai and Esther's judgment call about the way that David decided was best and most appropriate to maintain the, you know. By Hanukkah, the Chazal set up an Erech Hanukkah, and here they set up. I'm not saying it had to be that way.
I always thought that the mitzvah of drinking on Purim had to do something with the fact that the miracle was hidden. It doesn't say Shem Hashem anywhere in the Megillah. We talked about that Hashem is hidden in this world.
Right.
So I thought it had something to do with, like, when you're typically, like you said, we use our mind to observe Hashem in this world.
Right.
Maybe we need, on Purim, we need to do the opposite of what you usually do because Hashem is so hidden to us.
Right. Yeah, I think that's, you know, like as I said, there are a lot of pshatim out there.
Right.
Those kinds of things. But this just talks to the point, you know, I don't know. This talks to, I think this is a good pshat answer for the thing. You know, those are like drashi kind of things. And
right.
You know, but this just is just a good plain halachic. I'm not saying this is the only way you could envision doing it. I'm just giving a sense to it. I hear still you could ask, why did they choose this form as opposed to other forms? And what did they do with the fact that in general people shouldn't get drunk? And then, but that's already, now they have to weigh the factors, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's still a good. I'm sorry. I think I don't know if it's the particular that was what the society was, but I think the idea is that we should have the emotional affect of the piersim anes. It shouldn't just be a cold intellectual recognition of a salvation, but it should the simcha of the thing should be maintained, and then the the intensity of what of the events and the intensity of the pending tragedy and the great salvation should be part of what we remember. And I think it doesn't work that way. Like, there's a much more excitement about Pirsa Manes on Purim than on Hanukkah, for instance. We feel the miracle on Purim because of the whole way the whole day is set up. And that was what they wanted to bring about. So I don't know if that's the particular of the victory party or whatever, but the idea is that we're doing what they do, and we're happy, and we know that they were happy, and this is it allows us to get into the emotional aspect of the Nes and of the Yeshua, the great Yeshua of Hashem, and to give Shevach and Odah, which we may not have otherwise done if it was more of a if it didn't have that form.
Funny,
even in the day, it's the other part of the day. First you do the Mikra Megillah and the mitzvos and the ideas, and then you do it. So it is built upon the Mikra Megillah. You can't not do Mikra Megillah.
Right. Saying I would expect it to be adding some kind of insight. I don't know.
Right. I'm saying is, I think the main point, I'm not saying so much, the point is for us personally to get, that I was just saying that, but I think the main point is that that's the way the Pirsa Manes, that's the way the miracle is maintained, and the knowledge of the miracle is maintained. That was the idea of Pirsa Manes, and the mitzvahs of Pirsa Manes, is to maintain, like it says in the Megillah, is to maintain the memory of the thing throughout the generations. And that is how they did it.
And this is like the one instance.